almost feel like I need to introduce myself.
Who are you?
I'm Pastor Peter Canizzaro, lest you remember me as a guy from the past. You know, when pastors go on vacation for a long one like this, you probably wonder, do we think of you? No. We do, or at least I do. And what, you know, Elle and I were checking out last week, but hey, Nate was here, and, you know, and there were different moments when we thought about you and bragged about you, and I wish I could have taken you with us to where we were. And I hope you get there someday. I had a message prepared before I left, or it was halfway done, but then I wrote Paul and said, I'm going with another passage after being out here. So we unfortunately caught a little sick while we're out there, but Ellen said, go out there, go be adventurous. I have a wanderlust that's never satisfied, but just a few thoughts here, just as I was thinking about you, before we jump into today's message. I would really like to take you through kind of who we are. While we were away, Ellen and I have read The Life of A.B. Simpson, and she kept saying to me, would you hurry up and get done? Would you hurry up and get done? I want to read this book. And usually when I take a long time, I'm in an absorption of a book. And out of that, I want to be able to preach on Christ as Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. It's been a long time, and so I'd like to do that after today. And so just to kind of give you a highlight of what's coming. So, you probably know where we were. Yellowstone National Park is the first national park of America. And it was established in 1872. And it's primarily located in Wyoming. We're going to get to the scriptures in a moment. And it is one of 64 national parks. It actually sits upon a super volcano. I don't know if you know this. And that's why you see all these super geothermal features like Old Faithful. And so when you begin to look at the history, there are over 500 diverse geysers throughout the whole park. And a study was done in 2011, discovered there were actually over 1,200 at one point. And so when you hear that statistic, you can't help but conclude we're tenting in a volcano, right? I could sleep at night, which was crazy. But when you drive around the park, there are picturesque vistas all over. Rivers, streams, ponds, lakes, puddles, meadows, canyons. It's incredible. Mount Washburn is over 10,000 feet, gives you a wonderful panoramic view. And of course, you may know of the upper and lower falls that roar with life. And the animal kingdom is diverse. From bear to elk, mountain goat to prairie dog, moose to marrots, buffalo to beaver, horse to hawk, lynx, coyotes, eagles, wolves, bobcats, pikas, pelicans, ants, gnats, mosquitoes, and the rest. So there are four entrances to this park, but I'm not here to talk about our vacation. I'm here to talk about God's creation. And there's a difference. This park, it's amazing. There's Old Faithful. It is true. It happens on time every hour to 10 minutes. And it's astounding how many people gather for this. I had to laugh because it seemed so commercial, but then I stopped to put that aside and said, no, just the wonder of it is amazing. Up on Mount Washburn, you can get a view, panoramic view of what God established, what God made with his own hands, and you are stunned. What one particular day, Ellen and I were out, and we're just driving into this parking lot to go look at a view, and here comes this fox right towards our vehicle, you know, just trotting, and we're like, hello, you know, we'll move aside for you, but he eventually went to the side, and he had this grin on his face because he had a big prairie dog in his mouth. Said, that's Friday night pizza for the family, right? we just continue to be so awe-filled. We stared in wonder. We celebrated with delight. I said to Ellen, don't we have any other adjectives besides wow? Wow! Wow! There's no language that can fulfill it. We looked and have for years always loved to see bears. That's my favorite. And we came across this golden one, 10 feet away. It was a 2-year-old. I was in the truck taking the video, following it, and astounded. Just this, why are we so captivated by animals? So why do I mention all this? Creation tells a story. Do you know what that story is? Creation reveals the author. What is the author telling us? Creation is a window. Can you see the other side? It's a window. It's intended to get us ready. Coming attractions of what's to come. Can you see? Can you see through the window? And creation has a voice. It's telling you something very personal. And start taking notes, because the author speaks. And so here's one thing I notice about the park with people and people in the park is that there's this one place where you can take a picture of the falls. It's called the artistic viewpoint. And this is the pattern. People walk up, go, wow, look at this, take a picture, chat, and then they leave. They don't absorb. They don't look at the details. And so they miss possibly what the author is trying to tell them. There's a story he's trying to say. There's a window to look through. And so often we miss. The animal kingdom is vast. Just can't help but see. This was a tour guide we took by a raven. Look at that shot. It's like, welcome. As soon as I gave it a piece of bread, don't tell the national park I did this. He followed me right to the truck. St. Ellen said, you gained a friend. I said, yeah, I did. Those are the Tetons behind there. And of course, we saw a fox. That was a great delight. Let's turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. David is going to extol on two ways God reveals himself to us. And so let's take a look at this whole passage. There are 14 verses. God reveals himself. After we read this, I'm going to look at with you those two ways he reveals himself to us, and then what are those benefits to our relationship with him. So let's take a look at this Psalm. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So God will reveal himself to us in two primary ways. Theologically, we use this term general revelation and specific or special revelation. General revelation is creation, verses 1 to 6. And then when you look at verses 7 to 14, you're going to see special revelation, where God actually uses words, human language, to speak to us about what he wants us to know. And so when you look at the primary way in creation, here's what God is trying to say to us. Here's the point that David wants. The purpose of creation is to point to a creator. It doesn't just end at creation. So when we admire creation and we don't go to the creator, we miss the moment. And so when we look at creation, we could admire and be amazed. And I'm going to tell you some things that are astounding about it. But if it stops at that, we've missed a point. We've missed a point. We've missed a creator. Listen, the heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Someone's talking. Their voice goes out into all the earth. It's meant for everybody. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. He's very strong. The word declare means to make known. Pour forth speech is this idea that it's not just a trickle, it's a busload of information he's trying to give to us. And his voice goes out. God's not being shy or coy. It's being very direct. There's a personality then behind creation. There's a creator behind the creation. There's a person behind the power and the knowledge. Now, most of you know this. But when we don't stop long enough to listen and see it as a window, to see it as an author, to see it as a story, we'll miss the deeper meaning. And so God is pointing and saying, can you hear me? Can you see me? Here's what you'll find. His imagination is vast. Our God is younger than we are. The older I get, the younger I want to be. That's why I want to hang with children. Our God is young, young at heart. His imagination is vast. The heavens declare the glory of God. His creative powers are unlimited. His craftsmanship is amazing. His knowledge is endless. His heart is good. Nothing is deprived from the warmth. Let me just make sure where I am. We saw the fox. Yeah, that's the waterfalls. Isn't that stunning? His imagination is vast. There are multiple animals of all shapes and sizes, personalities and looks, cute to cunning and fast to smart. Our Father has a great imagination. Disney does not have the market on imagination. When you look at imagination, imagination is the ability to form mental images and concepts not present to our senses. It's not by external stimuli. Imagination plays a vital role then in problem solving, creativity, and learning human behavior, and so forth. Listen, while every one of us possesses the ability to imagine, not everyone is as intense or expressive about it. So how do we keep it? That's a good question. If we meet creation and the Creator, I think our hearts will stay young. If we just see creation, then our hearts will not go as young. Do you hear what I'm saying? His creative power is unlimited, I said. The heavens declare the glory of God. Scientists tell us if you hold up a quarter like this, you will behind that quarter will be 10 million stars. Stunning. You've heard the term intelligent design. There's a design and purpose behind creation. His craftsmanship is amazing. I see this with the animal world. I just showed you the canyon. That's stunning. Just take a look at this. When you stand here and take a look at this, you just hear the sound of the water. You hear the sound of his voice. John talks about how when he would hear the voice of Jesus, sounded like thunder, right? And so you have to stop and wonder. Job said this about the animals, chapter 12, verse 7-9. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will let you tell you, or speak to the earth and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you, which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? What Ellen and I had done during our time, because we wanted to make sure we saw different animals, is we went to a reservation where they're preserving and restoring animals. And so we wanted to make sure that we saw wolves, because wolves are very hard to find in the park. And so there was a sunset. Thought you'd like that one, Amy. Meet Spirit Bear. This bear was something else. Bears are not the problem. Humans are the problem. What we do is when we're leaving out food in places that we should not, these bears come and they create a problem, right? Well, this bear, five times they kind of had to relocate him, and he kept coming back to the same spot, Spirit Bear. So they decided to take him 100 miles north to Canada. He arrived back at the campsite 2 days later. Thus the name Spirit Bear. Does that not tell you something about our Creator? There's something about the bear we can learn. When you're hungry, you'll do anything. But they're just, isn't that astounding? He found his way back 100 miles. Stunning, stunning story. Their smell is over 100 times stronger than us, but not as strong as a golden retriever. But again, his knowledge is endless. There are over 400,000 kinds of flowers in the world. Did you hear what I said? Not 40. 400,000 kinds of flowers. And so we saw some of them that Ellen and I just couldn't help. This whole field, I was hiking up Mount Washburn. Ellen was sick in bed. I said, honey, you would love this. There are flowers everywhere on this mountain. I just have a hard time enunciating them. Chrysanthemums, poinsettias, you know I've messed that one up before. Placentas. I could say eucalyptus. This is the state flower in Wyoming. That picture doesn't do any justice. It's just they pop so beautifully. And so I thought about this. 400,000 flowers. The great wedding banquet. My sister has a business in flowers. It's called Indigo Violet. And she's doing very well. And she loves flowers. I said to her, can you imagine what the great wedding banquet's going to be like? Don't you think God's going to bring out the best? All 400,000 flowers? I think so. See what I mean? Use your imagination. Our Creator is telling a story. So the flowers are there. If you go in the scriptures, I spoke to you about this a couple months ago. Our capacity to have an imagination and our capacity to dream is the same nature that's in God. The two Hebrew words are yetzer, which is to imagine, yatzar, which is to create. And so we begin with imagination, but we end or we act on yatzar, to create. And so what I find when I go on vacation for a longer time than typical is that my imagination is renewed. It is cleared out. It is stronger. It is wider. It is wild. I said to the Lord this morning, driving down to you, I go, Lord, it's strange to want to be in two places at the same time. I miss New Buffalo people, but I miss Yellowstone, and I want both. I think heaven will bring them both together. David said this about it. Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars, what is humanity that you're mindful of us, human beings that you care for us? There are those times where you just kind of go, look at all this, and yet you and me are his best work. You are his trophy creation. You are he takes delight in. He made that for you and me. Isn't it amazing? Our God is good. When God put Adam and Eve in charge of the Garden of Eden, He definitely gave them great opportunities to observe, enjoy, tend. What are the benefits? What are the benefits of creation? One of the primary benefits is that it awakens your imagination again. If you're in a business funk, you need to rethink how to do business, go on creation. It will renew your thinking. Second benefit is creation declares the glory of God. And so when you're looking at a fallen world like we are, you can get very cynical. You got to look at creation and begin to renew how glorious God is. Another benefit, and last I'll just say this, is that if God took that much time to detail and delights in his creation, and you're his greatest creation, does he not delight in you? He took much detail in creating you. The second primary way we see in Scripture is through his divine word. So when you bring those two together, creation and the word with God, that's the best kind of church service I would like. The law, Scripture says here, this is the second primary way, is divine word. David said this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. Think about that. Perfect. Perfect in truth. Perfect in beauty. Perfect in remedying the human condition. Perfect for you. Perfect for me. Perfect for our church. The Scriptures can refresh the soul. What are those words for you that refresh your soul? What are those words? Good morning, love. We still got it. From your spouse. Maybe you're cancer-free from your doctor. Your house is done from your builder, architect. You're the MVP from your coach. Your employee of the month, we're giving you a raise from your boss. You nailed it, bro, from your mentor. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect? Perfect. Our Father knows exactly what to say to us to help us be refreshed. I remember saying to Ellen, I was out with the Lord, you know, and I was playing some worship music, and I just was, oh, play that song. Oh, play that song. Oh, play that. And there were three songs on the holiness of God. I went, okay, Lord, I get it. You're trying to talk to me about holiness. The word of the Lord is perfect. The word of the Lord is perfect. Verse 7, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. To be trustworthy is something that's been proven trusting, be able to be trusted over time, proven over time. When you think about trust in the institutions today, do you trust the medical community and prescriptions since the pandemic? Has it dipped? Do you trust the IRS to give you accurate information in light of some of the wasteful things that we've heard recently? Do you trust the federal government with our educational direction? Do you trust the American church to define our faith well? Many institutions are shifting and shaking, I understand, but the Scriptures are trustworthy. 66 books, from prophetic fulfillment to historic reliability, it's all there for us. When you look at the Scriptures, when you think about this, is there a difference between intelligence and wisdom? Intelligent wisdom, though related, are very distinct. Intelligence generally refers to the capacity for learning and reasoning and understanding, and often related to academic achievement and logical thinking. But wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and experience with sound judgment, empathy, and understanding to human relationship. And so when you look at what the Scriptures do, they make us wise. They make wise the simple. So never forget that. Many times I felt very intimidated in school over the years because there were so many intelligent people around me. But you can be not as intelligent, but you can be more wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. What gives you joy to the heart? A love letter from your spouse after 50 years? Did I hear the Hamiltons are celebrating 60 years of marriage? Hope he's still writing love letters. He better write some love letters. Looking back on family photos, you find yourself smiling, looking at the way that we were. sunsets and sunrises, the pastoral search team finding the next pastor and getting the job done. For me, ice cream after church is always good, giving joy to the heart. However, David is saying here, the greatest is knowing that our God is the giver of joy through his word, because he is joy. Our Father is joy, and he gives it to us. Over the years, Ellen and I, we've had our pursuits of joy. For 7 years, we looked for moose in New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine, Massachusetts, even out west. And after finally, we found in the year 2012, we saw seven in Wyoming in one day. We've been looking for eagles for years, Colorado, New England, and then we saw seven in one day in PA, Pennsylvania, here in 2013. We've been looking for wolves for a long time. We didn't find seven in one day, but we found two. I would have liked to have shown you more, but they're just so interesting. Beautiful, beautiful dogs. So what brings you joy? David is saying the scriptures again. Take the scriptures, take creation, bring them together, and then you have an understanding of our Creator and the purpose of creation. But I have to say, I had a little fun when you're up 10,000 feet on Beartooth Pass. It is the most scenic highway in America that Ellen and I have ever been on. It's our second time, and we're up 10,000 feet. Look at this, kids. I'm on a mountain getting snow in July. Isn't that cool? Do you think I threw one at my wife, Ellen? Yes. So David goes on and talks about the word of God. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. It seems that at every age we reach a point, we're at a season where we just don't know what to do. Decisions to make, situations we face, family dynamics to face, and we need clarity. David is saying here, the scriptures give you that clarity. They bring light to our darkness. They bring a pathway through the forest. That's what scriptures do for us. Who's better in your family for asking directions? The kids can answer that better than the parents. Does GPS always provide the best way to get to your destination? Are the directions to building the family swing set understandable? David is saying the Word of God provides clarity and direction for our lives. So when you pray for the search committee, pray for clarity from the scriptures and God about how to know for our next pastor. David is letting us know. The fear of the Lord is pure, he says, enduring forever. Reverence, respect for the Lord will never end. We do it now. We move on in the future with him. The fear of the Lord endures forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Once in a while, you have this passing thought in Yellowstone. I'm living in a super volcanic, environment, and there were places where you could go like this, and the steam is coming up from a guy, and Ellen's taking a video, and I'm just thinking to myself, you had this passing thought, this just could blow. I would go immediately, but eventually you guys would go later, right? But my point is that it's not firm, right? It's not totally firm, but God's word is firm, David is saying here. David goes on to say, the more precious than gold than pure gold. I don't know what your bank account looks like, but there's no comparison to the word of God. You can bank on it. Well, Elle and I were traveling. We were leaving Yellowstone. And again, the scriptures were in my mind. And we were coming down the west side of Yellowstone. And it was just so breathtaking going down. I had watched a river runs through it, this movie. And I had actually driven by where they filmed it, and I'm going, oh, you know, just sort of putting it all together. Do you know the movie River Runs Through It? It's about a pastor and his sons, and Robert Redford did a great job with the story. But I saw the sign, Big Sky Country, Big Sky Town. So I said, honey, we should go there. We should check it out. And I, she said, why? Cause, I said, because Tom Brady lives there. You know, just kept saying, let's go find Tom's house. It was just kind of a fun thing we did. But here's the thing. How do I say this? There's a way to look at estates and gorgeous houses without envy, and without, oh, look at that, look at that. Don't just do that, okay? Oh, those celebrities, I get it. But just look at the architecture of some of these homes. I took a picture, sent it to Ben, and said, hey, Ben, could you build me one? He goes, yeah, can you afford it? But just beautiful land and architecture. Why do I say all that? David says, they're more precious than gold, than pure gold. More beautiful than that is the word of God. Again, take creation and his word, bring it to the creator, and it changes the way you see things. So what are the benefits of God's self-revealing character in creation, but specifically now in his word? What are those benefits of listening and hearing from God? First, I would say this to you. We are given a heads up of danger that's coming down the pike. Verse 11, by them your servant is warned. A good father always lets a child know, here, just be aware of these things. I want you to have a good time. Go for it, but just be aware. God does this in his scripture. He gives us a heads up. Now, we had gone on Madison River with my sister and her family, and I was on a paddleboard. I'd never been on a paddleboard before. I didn't know this at the time, but when we got started, Ellen got into a kayak, and she was looking at the flow of the river going, this is pretty fast. Now, we were kind of occupied. We were supposed to all huddle together, link kind of oars, and just kind of go down together as a big group of about eight of us. Eight vehicles, water vehicles. But we got separated right away. It was a fast river. And I'm on a paddleboard. Paddleboard's different than a kayak. It's flat, you're not in it, and you only have one face on the oar, not two like a kayak. So we're like, everything is out of control. And we get to this part of the river, and my sister is waving me to go, you know, to the left, or to my right. And I'm like, oh, I got it. Because I'm taking it all in. And she's like, oh, I got it. You know? Warning, right? But then as I started to try to get over, I realized, oh, I only have one. I don't have two. Because I kayak. This is not good. It was fast. And then all of a sudden, I looked over. I'm going, the wind was just pushing me. So I said, I'm not going to make it. And I looked over to the left. And there were these, you know, rapids. And I'm like, this is not good, because I didn't have a life preserver on. So she goes, let it go. Just jump off. I jumped off. And as I'm being pulled down the river, I'm going from rock to rock to rock like this. And I'm just, sorry if this is graphic, but my nieces were crying. Uncle Pete, Uncle Pete. Like, it was not a great sound to hear. And all of a sudden, I just went, slow down, calm down, get a hold of it. Boom, settled, fought hard, and got out. That was scary. That's about my third time with something like this in kayaking. My wife, Ellen, said to me, I don't think you're going to kayak again. By your servant is warned. I've been warned three times. So here's what Jesus said. In this life, you will have tribulation. You're going to hit rapids. But do not fear. I'm with you. What if I had gone under? I'd be okay. We need to remember those times. By your servant is warned. God gives us warnings. I could give you many in Scripture, but it's Communion Sunday. Second, we're promised a great prize if we commit to its promise. In keeping them, there is great reward. When we keep the word of God, we're not just saying it. In Hebrew, the word to hear is to fully intend to do exactly what you listen to. It's different than listening. In listening, we're going to consider. But in the Hebrew, when you take the word hear, it is the intent to fully do what exactly is being said. And so David is commending us, and keeping them is great reward. What promise are you holding on to these days? What promise? Third, it can bring a spotlight to our inner world of blind spots. Look at verse 12. But who can discern their own errors? Can't. We can't. And so we need each other. We need the word of God to show us what's going on inside. Can you see your own sunburn on your back develop? No. Can you see cancer develop inside your body? No. It's the same with the soul and the way that we come across. We need each other and the word of God to bring a spotlight. Fourth and final one, we can find forgiveness. And as we come to the altar, David says these things: forgive my hidden faults. I love that statement. Why? Because even then I need God. I need God for my blind spots. David is saying here, Lord, forgive what I do not see. Forgive what I do that I don't realize what I'm doing. And forgive what I say what I do not realize what I'm saying. In other words, recognize that I can't discern my own faults, my own sin. And that's why we come to the communion. Let me bring this all together. While Ellen and I were, I think I may have missed some pictures here. This is up Mount Moriah. I took a picture of this. This is when I thought of you. There were a couple of shots. This was a better one than this. But I was up higher, and I saw this grass meadow. And I just went, oh, Lord, that's just capturing my heart, because I could see the canyon, I could see the waterfalls, I could see... my heart was so free. I said, I just want to build cabins and have all the people I know just live there with me. It was a longing for heaven, right? Isn't that what we do? And so that was why I took that shot. This was a canyon. This is, see all that stone? That's all lava-like stones. It was verification that we're living in a super volcano. And of course, this is the infamous... the name escapes me right now. But just stunning. I did not color aid that. That's really how it looks. It was a long line to get up there. I think that's it, yes. Let me close with this. Let me tell you about a story about a man named Robert. Author Lee Strobel, he's a man I've deeply respected, read over the years. We were listening to a podcast that he was on. Lee has been a man that I've looked to over the years. Love his work. Talks about Robert. Robert is a man that represents where God's supernatural revelation comes to us, yes in creation, yes in the Word, but the Word talks about he just comes to us specifically. Robert was the definition of a narcissist. He lived for himself and loved himself. He was a multi-millionaire. And he lived in Florida, and he lived with expensive toys. And he was a womanizer. Drinker, drunk, gambler, ungodly life. And one day Robert was walking down the beach and says that God spoke to him. And God basically said, Robert, I've been speaking to you for a long time, and I've looked out for you for a long time. You need to come to understand my son Jesus. And he was rocked by this, because all he knew Jesus by was a swear word. And so he talked to the only Christian he knew, which was Frank Gifford. Remember Frank Gifford? NFL, history, married Kathy Lee Gifford, Monday Night Football, just a key NFL voice. He said, Frank, you got to help me out. He said, I was on the beach and I had this experience. It's like God spoke to me. I need to know Jesus. Who is Jesus? And Frank explained to him who he is. And he said, you need to read the book, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. He read the book and called Lee. And... Robert had a radical experience with God, radical conversion, a 180-degree change in his life. His character, his morality, his values, his mindset, his conversation. It was so radical that at his baptism, thousands showed up to see. And after his testimony and all that, the pastor saw what was happening, tore up the sermon and said, if there's anyone else that wants to come to Christ today, and over 700 people came forward to come to Christ and be baptized. So you want to know who Robert is? Robert was the daredevil motorcycle stuntman of the 1970s. Evel Knievel. Remember him? I had the little motorcycles, you know, that would, in a little lunchbox, Evel Knievel. As soon as I heard that, I started to cry. God can save anyone. I just... It was just so moving, because I used to, we just idolized him, right? The stunts he did over the Grand Canyon and things like that. God has been revealing himself to you. Do you know what he's saying? Do you know what he's asking? He's got a good plan for your life. He wants you part of his story. God has revealed how much he loves you. He has a good way to live. Follow his ways. What is keeping you back from full surrender? The creator of creation has great things to say to you and I. Can you hear? Are you listening? What is he saying?